You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of every Premier League match week and the Champions League and the Europa League as well. I'm Robbie Musto and he's Robbie Earl, and here are today's topics. Manchester United coming from a goal down to try it for Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. 10-man Leeds United stunning Man City at the Etihad. Liverpool winning their first match at Anfield in the Premier League since December. A brace from Christian Pulisic in Chelsea's 4-1 win over Crystal Palace. West Ham keeping their top four hopes alive, while Leicester's hopes are now in jeopardy. And are Fulham in trouble after their defeat to Wolves and Newcastle United's win at Burnley? That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, truegreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, big game, Robbie Earl. Fascinating match. Tottenham Hotspur 1, Manchester United 3. So much to talk about, my friend, with performances, with managers, with fallout, with VAR, with goals, with attackers. I'm going to leave it for you to decide where we start on this one.
Where I have to start on this one is maybe fitting it in with the rest of what started on Friday and is continuing Monday. It's a dramatic Premier League, mate. You look through the games, the incidents, the results, the VAR, the sendings off, the yellow cards, the managers' press conferences. This league just never, ever is ordinary, is boring. And we had probably certainly one of the most high-profile games at the weekend. Spurs taking on Manchester United. Jose Mourinho's been in charge of both clubs, so the Jose Mourinho derby. And it doesn't let us down. I thought the football was good, Rob. Spurs started quite well. Thought they were a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more forward with their press, winning the balls, having a little bit of control of United early on. That I thought, oh, this is interesting. This is a bit different. United, I've got to say, my overriding thing with Manchester United, and we've been on this podcast for this season, for last season, for two or three seasons now, saying about what they don't do well, what they aren't, what the manager needs to do. And they're turning into not a bad outfit, to be honest, my friend. Goal behind again against an informed team, having played in Europe. Come back into the game, play good football, have got attacking threats, are looking more in control of situations than we've seen. Some big calls by the manager, one being the goalkeeper. At the moment, he's got 7-8 more games to go. Dean Henderson is maybe starting to prove a point. Just felt it was a day today where Manchester United have taken a step. I think Manchester United have taken a step. I go back to Project Restart of last season, Rob, when they finished the season. I said, wow. And we talked about something's starting to feel like it might be happening at United. Then they had a bit of a loose start, didn't play particularly well at home, and you lose a little bit of that belief again. It just feels to me like there's some level of consistency. Paul Pogba looks like he's enjoying his football again. Bruno Fernandes, who didn't light the game up in that much of a way, but still is an influence. Edinson Cavani was outstanding today as a centre forward. The balance of the team with and without the ball looks better. Fred and McTominay now look like there's a partnership growing. Now, yes, we might be looking for improvements, but I come away today, Rob, thinking this is a decent Man United team that's got a chance to go next level with next level signings.
Yeah, and I think at the moment, that's all the manager and the football club can do. You're right. I mean, they're going to be the second best team in the Premier League with, you know, pretty obvious spots that need new players and upgrades mm-hmm. in certain positions. But the foundation looks pretty good. And of course, we all realise yet that they're a little short, but at least you can see it. The quality of the football and the goals and some of the movement in the second half was pretty spectacular. And, you know, going back to like the history with United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and certainly my comments on him was like, okay, well, that was good United. That was bad United. Good United, bad United. I think when you look back at the last few weeks, maybe now a couple of months, I mean, it's been mostly good United. And, you know, Edinson Cavani, it's really, I want to say special, maybe that's too strong a word, but it's fun to watch him play, Rob.
Yeah.
It's fun to see a number nine work, a craftsman of different movements and to get himself in good spots. And his, you know, the goal that's disallowed that we'll talk about, you know, finishing off, the movement's always very, very sharp, always very good. You know, some of the football that they played. Mason Greenwood, Rob, as well, is a player that I think we talked about. I think I brought it up on the last pod about how sharp he's looking. Now, he's off the bench. He played the start of the game on the bench. He looks different. He looks different. Like, God, he takes his goal, his ball in for Cavani's header. You know, a goal and assist. I think he was on for only like 20 minutes or so. His, you know, that right side of winger, which is in my four spots that United need to improve, right midfield or right wing, right forward, who's going to be that guy? I'll throw it back to you, Rob, straight away on that. Is he ready? Can he put off that signing? Is he that goal scoring wide player that now good sides have wherever you look? And I know young player striking
a ball? No, my one concern, Rob, in a team that's going to be, if we're talking about where they want to get to, challenging for titles, closing that gap and being not just 9 points behind or whatever it is now, but, you know, two or three behind with going in with seven games. What I still don't know with Mason Greenwood, and maybe this is just part of where he is in his football journey, I still wonder with him whether there'll be spells three, four, five games where we don't see him. Then he comes up again. And if that's the case, the title-winning teams aren't usually, inverted commas, babysitting those players, Rob. You know, the team...
I'm just trying to save the club some money, Rob.
Yeah, and I hear it. And some of that, I think, you know, if we were in the club, whether we were watching it, whether we were part of the coaching staff or we were a teammate, I think we'd know the answer. Because you see him day in, day out, and you see the learnings, you see... I think the bits that we see, the 90 minutes or the sub-appearances, it's hard to really say. I do agree with you that he's different, and I think some of that is learning. I think some of that's maturity. I think he's had a couple of disappointments that have kind of shocked him a little bit with the England thing and his form and one or two things with the manager maybe not playing him. And I think that doesn't do you any harm as a young player. Just kind of puts you back on thing. Let me get back to track to my football, and that's the most important thing. So I hear you, and it's a gamble that if you're Ollie and I've got other spots to fill, I'd gamble on him. I'd save a little bit of money there and say, let's just see.
Let's just see,
where you are. I just want to go back to something you talked of today, because I thought it was fascinating today. I thought we didn't see the very best of Harry Kane, and because the way the game played out, it certainly was involved in it. I just thought, the centre-forward, Rob, is still a great thing. I know Pep loves his false nines, and I know Tuchel's, but a centre-forward, I watched Edinson Cavani today, and you made the point, and it was interesting because as I was watching it, for the second goal, I think it was the first goal when he gets his shot in. He's central in the pitch. He makes a run, and the run is that he never turns his back to the ball. He opens himself up. He pulls to the side, and now he's facing the goal with his shot, and he takes a shot and Fred. That's brilliant, brilliant centre forward movement. And it just made me think that it's great to have the Peps who are changing it in the false nines and the Tuchels who's doing the Havertz and the these. But you know what? A good centre forward. Yeah. And we had two good ones on the pitch today. Cool. Mm. They're still worth their weight in goal, mate.
Yeah, let's follow up with that, Rob. So Edinson Cavani, we know that he's unsure about staying at Manchester United.
Yeah.
How much of a priority or how important is it that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer tries to... it's a two-part question here. Tries to get him. And also, by the way, again, we sort of talked in the fantasy football in the studio.
Yeah.
If you break the bank, if you're Man United, and you say, you know what, let's bring in Harry Kane to take that next step to challenge Man City, because he's guaranteed goals.
Yeah.
Give me your all your budget is probably going to have to go on Kane. So you're going to have to get by with the centre backs and the midfield the same. Yeah. Would you consider that as a let's do it? And also, what do you think about Cavani in terms of him staying?
Okay, so it's interesting. If I could convince Cavani to have another year, I might put Harry on hold. With other things,
well, Harry on hold is not on hold, is he?
Yeah, I know. So I might say on the Harry one for to go 110, 120, all my eggs in that basket and stuck. I mean, as great as the goals come and we know everything else, there might be an injury, Rob. There might be an ankle that I'm missing for 2 months. I think if I could get Cavani to stay, I'm working out Martial, whether that's going to get me money or not. I've got Greenwood coming. I've got Rashford. I've got people who can sing it. I take Cavani with what I've got, been Kane. But listen, it's not a bad second option, by the way. I'm happy to go all in with H.
Yeah.
I'm happy to go all in with the big guy. And then that's sorted then. That's done. And then I've got to figure out the three underneath and then work maybe central midfield player, centre back. Starts looking decent then.
Let's swing it back, Robin, to the main talking point, because there's great reaction, which we're gonna play in a minute from both managers. Just want to get your take, Rob, on the Heung-min Son with a little flick in the face from Scott Tominay. Yeah. Again, I'll say my bit first, I guess.
I
didn't feel good about it. I didn't like the way that now everything is scrutinized, that there's a goal going in. Okay, let's rewind it back. Let's find ways to maybe, you know, negate it or for it to be cancelled. I think the referee had a good view of it, Robbie Earl. You know, he tries to get pulled by Son. He reacts by trying to push him away. The hand does strike the face. And then, of course, lovely football from United to score the goal, but it is called back and a foul is given. Now, we get the replays, of course, when we do this.
Yeah.
And you get slow motion. He's deliberately pushing him away, flicks him in the face. So I'm kind of like, I feel like, well, yeah, I guess it's probably a foul. As my thing drops out of my ear. But are we really saying that that's a clear and obvious error? That goal was scored and it should be chalked off. So I get why it was chalked off. I hate the way that we got there and the way now that football is being so scrutinized and analyzed and sanitized, where, my goodness, a little bit of contact in a game is like not really allowed if a goal is scored. What was your take on it?
I didn't like it, and I didn't think it was clear and obvious. And I don't think it's actually okay that now in the day of war we do. To me, it's not a foul. The referee looked at it. If he even thought about a second look, I think he worries how Son is. He let the play go. He goes to the thing. It's almost like re-refereeing. And the other, there was a couple of things that come back to me. Now, you always try and think, right, if I'm in that position, I think if Scott McTominay's got the ball, Rob, and you tell me if you're different, maybe you had a different way of doing things. When you've got the ball and I'm attacking with the ball, I can really only concentrate on one thing. Sometimes it's a ball or sometimes it's the guy who's coming. So I'm holding him off and I'm letting the ball run and I'm just making sure I've got my body. Or I'm concentrating on the ball and I'm just kind of got my arm here as a bit of a reaction to, you know, keeping somebody away. I thought it was the same. I thought McTominay was worried, was with the ball, and his hand just goes back. Now, his hand could have hit his arm, his shoulder, his chest, his face. It just brushed in his face. To me, Rob, this contact in our game, to me, that is not a foul. The referee's then put under pressure. I think it's re-refereed from the VAR. Yeah. They look and say, "Oh, are you sure about that? He does catch him in the face." I know he catches him in the face, but that isn't a foul for me. If your hand goes in your face in that way and I'm concentrating on the ball, that's not a foul. I thought it was a terrible, terrible decision. And I know and people are saying, well, you know, I understand under VAR. It's not a foul, though. I don't care about VAR. That there's times when you do chuck your arm out, and that's a foul.
But we have seen them given as fouls, Rob. When you chuck your arm out,
I know we've seen it. Yeah, I've seen them given, but we've got to be to better VAR. We've got to be able to say that's not one of them.
Don't get involved.
Yeah, don't get involved. Stay off that. That's okay. But if we keep saying, oh, well, in the letter of the law and because of VAR, we're never going to eradicate them. To me, it's a brilliant goal and it's a beautiful finish by Cavani that's taken away because of a brush in the face that McTominay's not meant to do. It's different if McTominay's got the ball and he sees things and he has a look and thinks, right, or he'll have one of them. It's not that, Rob. We've been there enough times. I'm an attacking midfield player. I know sometimes as I'm running, I've got to kind of keep that guy off me, but I'm concentrating on the ball. I'm not concentrating where I'm catching him. I'm just making sure there's distance between me and him.
Yeah, I mean, there was an incident early on in the game, Rob, that we went back and looked again with poor Pogba and you know...
Are we going to sanitise the game, I think you said. We're going to just keep rewinding back till we find something. Yeah. Oh, let's see that contract. You know what I mean? Where are we? I mean, it led to a fascinating set of opinions from the two managers after the game, didn't it, in terms of the actions of Son and the actions of Jose Mourinho. And I know you talked about it on the show. We're going to play on our podcast here and then we'll pick up after that.
I have to say, if my son stays down like this for 3 minutes and he gets 10 of his mates around him, if he gets that in the face from one of his other mates, and he needs 10 mates to help him up, he won't get any food. And I'm still saying that. I'm saying the same now as I did with the first time we played him.
Look, first of all, let me tell you something. I'm very, very surprised that after the comments that Ole made on Sonny, you don't ask me about it. Because, and I told Ole already this, because I met him just a few minutes ago. If it's me telling that player A, B or C from another club, if it was my son, I wouldn't give him dinner tonight or something like that, what would be the reaction of that level? It's very, very sad. And I think it's really sad that you don't ask me about it. It's really sad that you don't have the moral honesty to treat me the same way you treat others. In relation to that, I just want to say Sonny is very lucky that his father is a better person than Ole. Because I think a father, I am a father, I think a father, you have always to feed your kids, doesn't matter what they do. If you have to steal to feed your kids, you steal. I'm very, very disappointed. And because with me, like we say in Portugal, bread is bread and cheese is cheese. I told already Ole what I think about his comments. And I have to tell you that I'm very, very disappointed that in 5, 6, 7 questions, you ignore the dimension of that comment.
Oh, brilliant.
Standing ovation, isn't it? Standing ovation for Jose. I mean, that's... deflecting of the highest order. That's in his quote book. He's gone to his big journal of quotes.
It's really high.
That's high level quote.
I mean, there's obviously a little bit of like translation thing here. I mean, first of all, by the way, when I go to Solskjaer's, it's like it's kind of this weird, awkward analogy that he was struggling for words. And to be fair, it is a bit of an attack on Son and the Spurs players, teammates, which is not. it's not great to do that. You don't often hear other managers, you know, attacking, really. But it's kind of awkward what he said with the, yeah, he wouldn't get food. I mean, come on, Jose. He didn't literally mean he's not going to feed his kid.
I was slightly confused. Does he mean my son as in the child that his wife gave him? Or does he mean my son and my youngman's son? I was lost a bit on the sons at one point. And then obviously Jose jumps in with his, you know, his father's a better man than thing. I mean, it is interesting, and I agree. And it's classic Jose. He's found something that he can hone in on. Yeah. It takes away from all discussion in terms of the defending and the goals and where they are in the Champions League. But that none of that gets spoken. Perfect. He can walk out, which is very Jose. In terms of Ollie, Rob, I didn't like that he's talking about opposition players because I don't think that he needs to. And I think he and Manchester United and the way football is now, he can be bigger and better than that. What I slightly did like is you're manager of Manchester United and you've got the media and sometimes use it. And that's okay, Ollie. Because at times we've sat there and said, he looks like a bit of the rabbit in the headlights and that. And do you know what?
Yeah, he's got a bit
it's
more
okay
feisty.
To be. Yeah, it's okay to be feisty now and then. It's okay to chuck a couple of things in now and then. So Alex Ferguson was the master of it and we saw what he did over the time in winning trophies. And his team, you know, Ollie's got his team going well, they're playing well, everything's looking right. I just don't feel he needs that's a road. He doesn't need to go down that road, but he can come out. He can start coming out with a few of these cryptics and chuck a couple of things in now and just get people's back up or, you know, get a bit of confidence into his team or affect the referees or affect things because that's what the big managers do. And Jose Mourinho is the master at using the media.
Rob, like we're going to move on to the next game in a second, but it's not going to work with us. This isn't going to work with us. Let's get back to Jose Mourinho. They are Spurs now at seventh in the league table.
Yeah.
They're 6 points off of the top four. There's teams like Liverpool and Chelsea in the way, in between with more points than Spurs. Yeah. I think their chances of top four now are done and dusted. You know, they're in the League Cup final against Man City.
League Cup final in 2 weeks.
Where are we with Jose Mourinho?
I said the other day, Rob, there's a divorce coming if we're not. There's a divorce coming in this massive, this great union.
What's your criteria for it to be a divorce coming?
Is in a no League Cup win, so you don't get the
saves. Probable. That's probable.
And you don't make the top four. Possibly don't make European football. Is a possible? I mean, Europa League is still a target, but not making European football would be disastrous. Disastrous for a man who's been paid the money to go the next step, a team that made Champions League finals and lost, and okay, we need somebody to take us to the next step. That's the next step, but it's a big old next step backwards. This isn't a chairman who's going to throw a load of money. I wanted to chuck one question at you before we go. One question. And we'll talk about his team in a while, and I'll talk about another team. If Marcelo Bielsa had this group of players, what would we see? Better quality players in most departments than what Leeds have got. Better quality individuals in most departments than what Leeds have got. I would feel with the way he plays, and I know he's got to get his thing and all that. I think that's top four football. When he's had two and a half, when he's had the time at a club that Jose's had, I think you're talking to. So it's doable, Rob. It's doable with this group of players. You talk about, but he'd have Dele Alli in his team. He'd have Gareth.
They're not playing. He's not using them.
So this guy is going. You know, he's now gone to Rodon and Dai again. Alderweireld's gone. Sanchez gone. Where are we with the progression? Who's his centre back pairing? Who's his best fullback?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
I know. Let's move it on, mate. We can talk all day about those two clubs. Okay, you talked about Leeds United, Rob, and they got a stunning result. Man City 1, Leeds United 2. And I'm going to go straight to my underappreciated performer of the week, my friend, because it's a player that I'm sure I've given credit before, and I love him. I love this player, Stuart Dallas. Did you know much about Stuart Dallas before this season? I didn't know much about Stuart.
Northern Ireland international, didn't know. I mean, one of those who, you know, in the Premier League and watched a bit of Championship. Saw him a couple of times when I've watched Leeds in the Championship, but didn't know what he was. One of those who's coming to Premier League, and you're probably thinking, you know, this is a big challenge. What's the step? So important. It's just another important cog in that of a number of Leeds players, Rob, who first time in this league and like really
incredible. Yeah, Jack Harrison. There's a I mean, he can play in different spots. He's playing in the field. He's played
back. Cooper. Ailing's
done great.
Jack Harrison.
Bamford. Done way better than you might expect of a team coming from the Championship into the Premier League. So, you know, talk about, you know, one of the best underappreciated. You know, you talk about underappreciated, like the best underappreciated season. He's not far off of what they're doing and what he's done for this team. Stunning victory. Amazing. Yeah.
10 men against the Man City team. Wasn't the strongest City team, but you still got to go against it. They got out of 10 men. They got out of 10 men, Rob, and nothing changes with this Leeds team. In fact, it's almost like they want to prove a point more so now with 10. I mean, you know, they're flying through. Rafinha's going flying down that wing. You know, Dallas is making runs late on in games. You know, when most other teams, you know, it's like back to the wall. Let's just hold out. Give see. This team are like, no. That ain't who we are. That ain't how we're built. That's not our personality.
My notes on this game, so I was at home watching this game, Rob, is like, isn't it refreshing that a team goes to play Man City and they don't just go there and damage limitation and get behind the ball and, you know, oh, they've scored a goal and stuff. He had a man sent off. Let's just stay behind the ball and coast. The manager on the sideline treated it. And so then did the players, like a cup final. Yeah, like old school, Robin, you go Wimbledon, I'd go Middlesbrough to a big club, and you dream of winning, and you give everything to try and win a game. Not like now, where most clubs like, you know what, you know, it's difficult.
Yeah, they're better than us.
I just thought it was tremendous motivation and belief from the manager through the players. And you're right. Stuart Dallas, all the running that they had to do to try and stop City in that game. And I get all the stats, all the numbers of shots and stuff. Mm. He was still willing to make a run right forward in the 90-plus minute to go and win the game for his team. Tells you everything about the club and where it is right now with the manager and this group of players that it looks weird because they've got people running with others. Like it's man-to-man stuff all over the pitch, all over. It looks kind of weird, but I got to say, I just thought it was stunning and certainly a day to really, I guess we've done it a lot and people might say, oh, here we go again, Leeds United. But aren't they proving to everybody, Rob, that there's a different way to play this game? There's a different tactical approach from this manager and players from the Championship have stepped up at this level, at this stage of the season with tremendous energy levels. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, against the best team in the league. Against the best team in the league. I got to say, Robert, and he's becoming one of my favourites. Calvin Phillips, just love this kid, mate, just in terms of what he does. Another one who was I think, more of a box-to-box midfield player. I think Bielsa's brought him in. You know, he reads the game well. He's got great passing from deep. He looks for Rafinha for balls. And it was interesting. I just want to quickly go back to remind some of our viewers. And if you haven't listened to the podcast, listen, if you get a chance, listen to one with Parag Marathe, the senior executive who's at Leeds. And he talked about the personality, didn't he? And what attracted him. And he said it was like what Leeds are about, that they come to the Premier League and people already know who they are and what they're about. And can they be people's second team? And I kind of feel they're getting that. I kind of feel like in a world where, if you come up from a league, you're not supposed to do what Leeds do. You're supposed to be a bit inferior. You're supposed to be a little bit inferior. That Leeds aren't that side. They kind of stand for, you know what, I'm going up and I'm going to have a real good go at things. And there's something that's admirable about that. That I don't know. That West Bromwich Albion will go down and go, wonder if. There's no wonder ifs with Leeds.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's certainly one of the biggest stories of the season, the way that they have jumped up into the Premier League and done such a great, great job. Where are they now? They're 10th. They're 10th
in the league. Yeah, without a worry, no relegation worries. Just quickly turning on to City, Rob, because it's been an interesting week. Not a great result against Dortmund. A 2-1 win that means there's work to be done in the second leg. A defeat now in the league. You watched the Dortmund game and said you felt City weren't quite, looked a little bit nervy and whatever. I mean, interesting couple of weeks coming up for City. They've got the game in the Champions League, got a League Cup coming up and an FA Cup semi-final against Chelsea in the next couple of weeks. So Are you okay with the form that, you know, wasn't all the big players? Are you okay that they're in the right spot? We talked about quadruple, you know, a month ago, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I mean, in the next 3 weeks, three competitions could be nearly there, or certainly one there and the rest nearly there, or it could be three competitions. You could be out of three competitions.
I'm still more worried with their performance against Dortmund when they won than this performance against Leeds where they lost. There's a lot of changes there. You know, it's not often they've got caught.
Like Zinchenko in midfield, didn't he? And Mendy.
Yeah, he played in midfield with Fernandinho Bernardo. So, you know, Nathan Ake played defensively, Rob. So you had some of the key defenders out. Again, the Dortmund game is the game now for next week. We're going to, of course, we'll watch and we'll get back on a pod again. But no, I don't think there's a significant cause for concern. The Champions League is obviously what we know that they're really after. And if they get back to the normal football that City have played all season and not the nervy, edgy one in the first leg in that competition, then they're still on for all the four competitions.
Okay.
You could think, well, they weren't great against Dortmund, they lost against Leeds, but I don't think it's that situation at all.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right.
Okay, my friend, let's move it on to the reigning champions, who at Anfield couldn't find a win all year. Dramatic, emotional late winner against Aston Villa, Trent Alexander-Arnold, the world's best fullback, according to his manager. I think in front of the England manager as well, got a goal and put in a performance that, if ever Liverpool needed a late winner, my friend, it was this weekend to boost things ahead of a tough Champions League against Madrid. I think 3-1 down in that game. Give themselves a chance of top four football. For this club, for this group of players, just to feel that maybe a little bit of momentum is coming back as they hit the last sort of stage of the season.
Yeah, I think there's a few interesting things here, Rob. The team lineup and the approach and the scenes at the end, this was a big game for
me. Yeah, huge.
A real big game at Anfield where they've struggled massively, massively struggled in scoring goals at Anfield. Big, strong team. Defensively, that's the obvious thing. Kabak, I thought, was poor for the Ollie Watkins goal. He didn't sniff the danger, didn't get goal side that we've seen before. But the way that they came back and the substitutions that were made, and, you know, Thiago was involved in the game, and the Trent Alexander-Arnold winner in front of Gareth Southgate, the manager. Fabinho went back to centre back, Kabak came out. So it's like, that's what they. I guess there's better insurance when Fabinho's back there. So it's just, I just thought it was a very important win for the top four. And the subs helped out with Shaqiri and Thiago involved going forward and for the winning goal. So I just thought it was a big day, and it felt like a big day given the lineup that the manager put out. And then, of course, the way that they finished the game.
I remember the game that I think was last season when Villa first came up, and it's one of those games I always point to, certain games in a title-winning season, and they were 1-0 down to Villa away from home. Don't know if you remember the game. I think Andrew Robertson came with a four-post header with like 10 minutes to go, 80-odd minutes of goal, and Sadio Mane, I think, came up winning. They won 2-1 at Villa away, and we kind of went, wow, that's what, you know, this was kind of a similar win in a different vein with Trent Alexander, for all that he's gone through and a difficult week for him, brilliant goal, yeah. Absolutely brilliant goal. I thought his defending was better. Of course, he can still improve, but I thought he had an eye on his defending. I thought there were... It was an emotional day. You saw the scenes after with Jurgen Klopp and his staff and the players. That was big. And I wanted to give a bit of love, Musty. I think you might have done it a few weeks ago. Mo Salah, by the way. Mo Salah. Yeah. Yeah. Needs a bit of love, my friend. 19 Premier League goals. I read a lovely line where it said, Liverpool have got to live with Mo Salah's misses, but they can't do without his hits. So he's not quite the top, but he's enough to still come up with some big moments for him. Gets him back into games, reacts off the Robbo shot and gets his header in. 19 Premier League goals. He's still, Rob, of the front three, is the one you still would rather a chance to fall to. He still might ignite thing. And by the way, he's desperate for the Golden Boot. Absolutely desperate for the Golden Boot. So that's going to drive him on as well as the games.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, like that greedy goal scorer, and there's sometimes where I guess it is a negative where he shoots maybe when he shouldn't shoot and he doesn't pass when he should pass, or he doesn't always make a great assisting pass. But the fact that he's a hungry goal scorer that loves scoring goals and always gets in positions is a really strong part of it. Sadio Mane last season was kind of the main man in some ways.
Yeah.
He did. He has gone right off the boil, left out of this lineup. Diogo Jota played on the left-hand side, Firmino back up front. But this season, again, Mo Salah, I mean, he's a little scorer. I mean, who else would you have on your right-sided forward? There was nobody. Nobody you'd have before him.
28 goals in 43 appearances. 19 Premier League goals in 30 appearances. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous. And that's been over a couple of seasons now. He just kept producing those numbers. And I suppose the big question is, moving forward, and while this was a huge win to get them on, how does the midweek look against Madrid? Is there another special Liverpool night in them?
Well, there is, but does that need the fans there behind them to produce that special night? They can win this game and go through. They've got the goals, and interesting.
Yeah, 2-0, isn't it?
2-0 gets them through. Yeah. But is it going to be nil? Who's going to play centre-back?
Somebody say, it's good defending, isn't it? There's going to be a period in that game. There'll be 2 10-minute periods when it's on, when you're going to have to defend for your life. I'm not sure if Liverpool are good enough to get through those periods without conceding. I think they can score, but I'm not sure if they can go through the bit. There'll be a time in the game when you're thinking they're hanging in here and you've got to be hanging. Does he trust the two kids enough? Does he have to put Fabinho back there? Yeah, I'm just not sure about that bit of the team.
Yeah, I'm not. Also, with Liverpool are going to be pushing at home. Trent's going to be going forward. The space in behind them. You know, Phillips and Quebec possibly playing back there as well. I just think that Real Madrid won't not score.
They are coming off the Clásico, aren't they, against Barcelona?
Yeah, it's a tough, intense game.
Traveling and
maybe
first goal massive, isn't it? First goal Liverpool get it. We got a proper game on that night, but great win for Liverpool in the league that keeps their Champions League hopes alive. Big week in Europe coming up for the Reds. Let's move it to Chelsea. Thomas Tuchel. What I would say, Robbie Musto, is the best 45 minutes I've seen Chelsea play under Tuchel against a poor Palace team who didn't really turn up, but. Lots of encouraging things for Thomas Tuchel at Selhurst Park.
Well, I like the lineup. Very attacking lineup. Yeah. I kind of like it when Hudson-Odoi is wing back because it's a legit attacking threat.
So is that when they think they're going to have that much ball that he's going to have more attacking than defending to do? Is that kind of feel that's when, you know, a team who we think we're going to dominate possession, we can go there. Maybe when I need a bit more defensive, I have to go Reece James.
Yeah, I think so. And I like it. I mean, they were excellent. Chelsea are excellent. Yeah. And when Graham Rousseau talked to Thomas Tuchel in Inside the Mind series, one of the strongest lines that we've heard is that he's saying that we're working 85% in training on attacking patterns and trying to get better because defensively and possession, and which then means territory, has been pretty good. It's just the last little piece of creativity hasn't always been there. They've been working on it. And I think Christian Pulisic, and I'm not sure he may have started one other time there, but Christian Pulisic the left-sided forward is his ideal position in this game. And there was some thought that he couldn't play in this system with Tuchel. I never bought into that. I think he's ideal for the left-sided, like a little left-sided number 10 when they play him behind Kai Havertz. Havertz, again, showed signs of the quality that he's got.
A few times,
a bore down, and he's got quality. He needs that. I think his manager said afterwards that he needs to show more personality.
Yeah,
I think that's just something that
aggression. I think you said the aggression.
Yeah, want
to finish more.
Yeah, just want to score a few more goals because he's got the talent to do it. Mason Mount, enough said. he's just having one of those seasons. But no, I think for the Chelsea fans,
could that be the best three? Could that be the best three, or just Timo Werner come into that? Obviously, people will look at his numbers. I mean, against not great opposition in Palace, it wasn't a good day for Palace. I thought that looked really threatening at times. Once or twice, Havertz came in, Pulisic went on, lovely interplay for the goals. Havertz can lead the line a little bit. He's a big man, isn't he? He's physical. He's got a lovely touch on the ball. I mean, do you have to find a fit scoring Werner?
I think Werner plays in the Champions League on Tuesday against Porto. I think that's part of it. You said he was going to rest him anyway. Mm. I think Pulisic will sit out. I don't think he'll start. I think Pulisic's got to do maybe a little bit more to persuade his manager.
A couple of goals, though, with threats.
I know.
Let's just say from a week ago, Rob, well, we see him coming off against West Bromwich Albion, maybe a little bit critical of him. Maybe he did the right thing in his injury. He hit the ball, I think, came on as a sub against Porto midweek. Gets a couple of goals this time. Well, probably if he starts or on the bench, will have an influence in the game. In fairness to him, he deserves a bit of credit because, listen, it could have gone the other way. And he's come through, got a couple of goals, which we've said, if he's going to play and he gets goals and he gets assists, that's what keeps you in the team. That gives you a chance.
Yeah, he can't do any more. He can't do any more. It has been unfair. He's had very few looks with Thomas Tuchel. Tuchel's
almost like a test player. If he's fit and he isn't worried about the injury, I've got a feeling they might start him against Porto. I just think that pace... That drive is lightning at the moment. Werner's quick, but when he gets there, he probably hasn't got the confidence Pulisic got in front of the goal.
The only thing with Porto having to go at the game, Rob, isn't Werner ideal for the counter attack?
Yeah,
to get the pace in behind. Yeah. But he ain't far off. He can't do any more than he's doing. Play well, produce, assist, goals. He's doing it. So he puts a pressure on the manager to know that he can do it in that particular role. So he's done very, very well, and I just think that Werner will be selected with Mount and Havertz for the next game. But, of course, he's a lot closer now to a starting berth, you'd think.
Yeah, really good day for Thomas Tuchel. The first time under Tuchel, they've scored more than two goals in any game. It's a good 4-1 win against Palace, which will do them no harm, leading into the midweek. Let's move it on to what was an interesting game, Rob. And I didn't get your take during the broadcast on... Yeah. West Ham 3, Leicester 2. A huge game for both teams in a race for a top four spot. I mean, the headlines before the ball was kicked that Leicester had a number of players who weren't involved in the squad due to disciplinary action. James Maddison had Andrew Chowdhury and Jose Perez. And I didn't also hear that Wes Morgan...
Wes Morgan and Harvey Barnes as well.
Harvey Barnes, yes. That's five key players... I mean, whether Bonds was fit enough or not, and whether Wes Morgan would have played. But five key players in the group. Madison was huge and would have played, whether Perez would have been involved. Broke club protocol rules, I believe last week, with going to some party or some function. And Brendan Rodgers felt he had to do something strong and decided that he wasn't going to involve him in the squad this week, that they'd be back next week. But he felt... stopping them playing in a game was a bigger discipline than maybe fining them or doing something else. I sent you, and it's a little bit like the Aubameyang one, although slightly different circumstances. It's like, are you hurting yourself and are you hurting the team and are you hurting the club by not playing them? Or are you right to stick to your principles and say, I have to come down on this one? It's one of them. I don't think these are right and wrong, but obviously having lost the game 3-2, I don't think, listening to Brendan Rodgers, he regrets making the decision, but it's one of those that maybe some fans might think, I'd rather James Maddison play and fine him 2 weeks' wages.
Yeah. They said they're going to come back into the squad and they'll be available for next weekend. Well, I just think it's hurt. Like you just said it. That's my take on it. Listen, maybe I'm wrong and maybe the majority of fans out there believe that the managers have to show this and they have to discipline. It's a discipline. They broke the rules. And by the way, love to know a little bit more details there. For that amount of players, and for Wes Morgan, experienced player, knows what it takes to get to the very top, winning the Premier League title. Listen, I'm not arguing that they break the rules, but like that's a lot of players to do that. And I don't know. I don't. We don't. I'm sure we don't know all the details. I just think Maddison today is exactly the player that they missed. There was no link. Leicester City was the worst I've seen them play for a long, long time. And Nacho Vardy have been good. They've been good when the ball's been played in behind and clever, smart play. Maddison would have been that guy to get it, to turn, to slide little through balls and little dinks over the top and create stuff. Nothing was going for Leicester City. Really disappointing. And then you've got the hangover of all the players that were you're out of the squad. I just don't know whether it is the right way. Fine them. Future conduct. You know, what extra training or non-days off or something other than affecting their match day.
It's interesting, and I'll play slightly devil's advocate on this one, but I kind of like what Brendan Rodgers did on this one, Rob. And I feel it's slightly different from the Oba, where you're late for a meeting or that's happened. And listen, Arteta got that right on the day, and he won. You know, Brendan Rodgers made his call, he lost. So you might say it might be easier to criticise, or there might be a row. I just think when you break a COVID protocol, and I'm going to quote what Brendan Rodgers said, that some things are bigger than football. You create the standard on and off the pitch for his football club, and the players have to understand and respect what the nation are going through. To not put a too fine a point on it, one of these players goes to an event, picks up COVID, a variant, plays in the game. His teammates may get it. The opposition may get it. The consequences of what they did is beyond straight discipline. It's a bigger thing than that.
But my understanding, because I asked Rebecca and we kind of talked about it, were they quarantining? Were they not allowed to mix up? That wasn't the case. As if like that wasn't a fear of infecting his teammates. It was more a purely you've broke protocols. You shouldn't have been there, and we're going to discipline you in this way. So I know what you're saying, and I know what the bigger picture is, and the health of everybody's, of course, is super important. But my understanding was that they weren't not there because health reasons and protocols. They couldn't be.
Okay. Yeah.
They could have been. You just said, you know what? Listen, it's one of those again.
Yeah, we don't. You never know the detail, and we're hearing what we hear from the outside. Listen, Brendan Rodgers drew a line and signed it, and. Yeah. Obviously, players didn't play. They're back in next week. I'm sure he's going to want to move on. In terms of Leicester, Rob, how are you feeling about... Are we going to have another Leicester... here we go again between now and the end of the season? I was looking at... They've got West Brom, Palace, Southampton, Newcastle. Their last three games, Robbie Musto, are Man United away, Chelsea away, Spurs at home.
Well, the ones before that can if they can win every
West Brom, Palace, Southampton, Newcastle.
Well, win every one of those and they should be good.
But they
I mean, Rebecca asked me before the game, Leicester are going to be okay, are they? She said, I'm not so sure. I said, well, I think with the points that they've got, 56 points now, most players are fit. Didn't have all the details of all these players that broke the rules or whatever. But now, of course, one result, and that's the thing with this league. And you talk about drama, and there's always something going on. Now, all of a sudden, momentum, the way that they looked today, and the way that Chelsea and Liverpool played, and the little the determination they played with to get in that top four, I guess we've got a great race, Rob. We've got a great race with West Ham.
They've got top four spots now. I mean, two are nailed on. It looks like they still have some to go for. Listen, just before we move on, I want to get to my underappreciated player of the week. And Jesse Lingard will probably win it every week. He's pulled on a West Ham shirt so far. I mean, 8 goals, 3 assists and 9 Premier League games, ridiculous numbers. And I just want to get your opinion on Jesse in a minute. But my underappreciated performer of the week goes to the captain, Mark Noble, Robbie Musto, who made his 400th Premier League appearance for West Ham United today. I think there's only 8 players who've ever hit that milestone in Premier League history. He's been in England under, I think, 16 through to 21, never quite made a full cap. has had a career up and down with this team in the Premier League. He's stuck with them in the Championship. He's captaining this team. He gives everything. You know, coming towards the end of his career, and he said, I think end of next season, you know, that will be him done. David Moyes has already gone on record and said, I want, you know, Mark Noble to play as long as he could, but as long as I'm at the football club, there'll be a place for him on my staff. I think he's so important. And I just wanted to shout out, you know, with no Declan Rice and no Mikel Antonio and, you know, two of their star players, he still comes in, he still does a job, he still has apparently a massive influence over the dressing room. And he's one of those, he's an unsung hero. He hasn't won as many trophies as others. He hasn't won Champions League and that, but he's had a really good Premier League. 400 Premier League appearances in one club tells you, you know, the durability you talk about, you know, the being there every week and getting through some tough times this football club have had, not least, you know, moving from Upton Park into the London Stadium. And there's one thing, Rob, I was just doing a bit of research and just thought, let me have a little look about what Mark Noble, and again, not for public knowledge, he donated $30,000 to a COVID course for people around West Ham who were struggling for food and struggling for essentials around the COVID period. And he's that guy. He's a West Ham man, and he cares about his football club, and he cares about his community. And that's why I wanted to give him my unappreciated performance of the week.
It's a great shout, Rob. And as long as there's Mark Nobles and Marcus Rashfords, they set an example. And wouldn't it be like a crime if players from certain areas didn't put a little bit back in the community and follow the path of others? I mean, it's rare loyalty in the game. I mean, talk about a loyal performer and a good performer for many, many seasons at a club that's had its ups and downs. Yeah, I totally agree. Well said. And, you know, it's nice to give appreciation to sometimes players that don't grab the headlines and are not superstar players. But 400 is a... 400. That's well done.
That's a big number.
And West Ham, just before we move on, Rob, West Ham, right?
Yeah.
Can they do any wrong at the moment? I mean, this isn't grinding out, by
the way. It was great grinding out. What I loved from David Moyes, I heard it early in the season when they were in top four and then they lost the result and I think dropped out. And you know, someone said, well, you know, David, and that. He said, no, we got to be disappointed. We're not in the top four. And I thought, well played, David Moyes. Today, he said, you know, 3-0 up. We've got to do better when we're 3-0 up. We can't afford to keep people getting back in the game. Remember the 3-3 with Arsenal. You know, he's setting standards. He's not allowing people to go. I just want to no Declan Rice, no Mikel Antonio. I want to go to the Jesse Lingard, Rob, because at the moment he's been a game changer for West Ham, as well as, you know, the Suchet and the Sufals and all, you know, and then Rice's and the Nolan. So just want to create a scenario for you, my friend. I was thinking, get to the end of the season, you're West Ham United, you're Karen Brady, and you're the Goals and Sullivans, and you make a phone call to Manchester United and you say, Mr. Lingard's been with us. We've really enjoyed him. How much could we buy him for? And at the other end of the phone, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, John Murta, and maybe Darren Fletcher at the other end saying, well, you know, Jesse was in, but there's other people interested now. And the fee is $30 million, Robbie Musto, for Jesse Lingard. And I'm West Ham, and I can hear Mr. Gold and Mr. Sullivan talking, $30 million, you know, it's a little bit, but, you know, he's done that well. And then the phone call changes. Manchester United say, but we will give you and $50 million. Jesse Lingard, let me say again, and $50 million. And we'll have Mr. Rice. Send Mr. Rice on the next train to Manchester. All in.
All day long.
But the key, and I'm just putting it out there in one or two or three, the key to Jesse Lingard going to Man United, if I'm Man United, is they want this guy. Can we get Declan Rice out of that football club using Jesse Lingard and they go and find another midfield player?
Yeah, that's the reports in the media. And I'm like, doesn't that make sense? And you talk about a young player that is an almost guaranteed great fit and improves you. You've got a good lad, a good professional for many, many years to come, worth spending the big money on. And this is what United always did, Rob. They picked up the best players from other clubs. West Ham had done it a few times. Rio Ferdinand being the biggest example. So I like that deal. I like that. You know, it's not a big nut initially. You get part exchange. A player goes in the other direction. I mean, that values, well, you're chucking an $80 million value on Declan Rice if it's going to be, you know, $30 million plus an extra $50 million. Yeah, I think it's a good showing. Whether that's going on, I don't know. I thought you were going to say, and Tottenham Hotspur get on the phone and they say, okay, Man United, we'll give you $35 million. So,
which would be if Jose's there, but I just worry that Jose might not be there, mate. Listen, let's move it on to the bottom end of the table, because there's lots of interesting stuff going on down there. Fulham 0, Wolves 1. If ever, Robbie Musto, you saw a disappointed face, a disappointed team, a disappointing result that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
It was at Craven Cottage. It was Scotty Parker. It was Mario Lemina. It was Fulham 0, Wolves 1.
Well, Fulham, sadly, Rob, can't win. They can't win games of football at this level. They've got five
straight defeats now, haven't
they? Yeah, they've won five times in 32. There's been a little wind of a possibility, but they can't win games. The Newcastle United result that came in today, first game of Sunday, with their 2-1 victory, I think is definitive. And I think Newcastle United now, they're not safe yet in terms of the points mathematically, but they are
6 points in it. 6 points with a game in hand.
With a game in hand. And a team like Fulham, they've got to win. They haven't got the points. So I think, of course, for our broadcast and for the Premier League, we want it to go to the last game where Fulham host
Newcastle. Yeah, host Newcastle, yeah.
I just don't know whether it's going to get that far. And Mario Lemina's tears afterwards, Rob, he's a loan player.
I think he's on loan from Southampton, isn't he? Well, you know, we're surprised with seven games to go. Almost felt like it was like last day or last day but one.
Yeah, you don't often get loan players that attached.
Yeah,
and
committed. Yeah.
Feel that strongly, which is great for him and Scott Parker and Fulham. Yeah. Football player that cares that much about
cares,
it.
But
I remember when we got relegated, we had a few players crying on the last day. That was the last day when it's...
Yeah, the last day when it hits home, doesn't it?
It still worked.
21 points to go, aren't they? Yeah, you've just got to believe you can go and win five games that you haven't done before now in the end of the season. But, it's going to be tough. But I think it was a big, big day for... Big, big weekend for Newcastle, getting that win and putting the points difference.
Just on the Newcastle. Is there any kind of sense that Mike Ashley, this time, did the right thing in sticking with Steve Bruce and not making a change towards the end? Because that was a sense. Like, we've had Alan Shearer before. Somebody else came in. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Rafa, wasn't it? Rafa came in and still couldn't keep them up.
And then they went down, didn't it?
And I'm not saying...
Listen, as long as they stay up, Rob, it's been the right thing. As long as they stay up. Because this club was headed for down. What goes on beyond this and ownership and transfers and things, who knows? As long as they're in the Premier League again next season, it's well done, job done. We might not like him. We might not like the way it goes about things. We might not like Newcastle's football. But you guess what? They've gained enough points, enough wins and draws, and everybody else hasn't been good enough that they finish 17th or above and they're in the Premier League. And that has to be the target.
How good is Alan, before we move on? Alan Maximin. I mean, that's pretty good.
Impressive stuff, yeah. And Callum Wilson back in the side. And I mean, it's just so funny that if you could keep some of those players and build around them, there's some good elements to this Newcastle team. But it never feels like they're united. Never feels like it's joined up thinking. And one great result, one not so great. Let's move to Arsenal, who had a good day at Sheffield United. A little bit of a woeful Sheffield United at the moment, with Wilder gone, Heckenbottom not particularly making much difference in terms of the way form's gone at the football club. Good day for Arsenal though, Rob, in terms of two goals for Lacazette. Martinelli got one clean sheet ahead of... and I think this was all about, getting a win, getting some confidence, maybe getting forward scoring. Saka injury in Martinelli. Saka with a thigh injury that seemed a bit of a worry. Martinelli with an ankle. We'll have to check on those because there's a huge week coming up in Europe for Arsenal, Rob. They go away to Slavia Prague, 1-1 from the first leg with absolutely lots of work to do and a crucial game for Arsenal in terms of European football for next season.
Yeah, I said it after the game today, Rob, that wasn't a great barometer against Sheffield United. Where they are on the league table in the bottom half, there has to be a sense that he is finding a way to progress and there is some improvement. There hasn't been a ton because Arsenal, you don't expect him to be down there. But that was a really important day today, I think. I know that the focus will jump onto the Europa League, and it's kind of like a way of potentially getting into the Champions League if they win this competition. Mm-hmm. They've got their work cut out in Prague, Czech Republic, to try and get through. But I just thought it was important today. And some of the younger players, Martinelli, I think, is a scorer. I think he's a natural goal scorer. He's had a nightmare with ankle injuries. He went off again today, didn't he? It looked like he was over again. It was a good day for Arsenal. The Aubameyang flu illness. Mm. We'll see how long that lasts.
Vitamin C, hopefully, will be a bit better. But yeah, the Aubameyang thing might, you know, people are saying, is he another Ozil? Is he an issue? When any player starts to carry that amount of negativity, at some point you have to decide, is it helping the club and helping the players who are there? I think that's something to sit down and talk about in the summer. But it's certainly something I think that Mikel Arteta has to address. Is Aubameyang in with him as part of this journey and this progression that you talked about? Because if he isn't, Rob, you may as well let him go and take his money and go and use it somewhere else.
I did some numbers, Rob, and going into the North London Derby, where, of course, he was left out and in some ways humiliated, he'd scored 10 goals in the previous 15. 10 mm-hmm. goals in 15. Yeah. Good form. Scored a hat-trick.
Good number.
And like all of a sudden, because he was late or whatever and he left that game, I don't know. There's a lot of kind of criticism of Aubameyang, and is he this and is he that and is he a good captain and all this? He was kind of doing okay. So we'll watch the story, Robert. At the time, both of us agreed that, is that the right way of disciplining Aubameyang, the captain of the club, but a vastly experienced player that scored key goals, both goals in the FA Cup final? Was it the way to go? And we said that, well, let's figure out and watch over the next few weeks. Let's see again now whether he comes back, what his body language is like and what his performance level is like, to maybe assess towards the end of the season whether it was the right call and whether Aubameyang is on side with Arteta's project or maybe he's not.
Let's assess Arsenal's chances in the Europa League, because we went to our friends PointsBet Sportsbook to give us some odds in terms of how they think Arsenal are going to fare in the second leg of that game in Prague where they're tied 1-1. And they have, maybe a little surprisingly, Rob, Slavia Prague to advance at +160. But Arsenal to advance -239, so quite strong favourites for Arsenal to go through on that one. So I'm not sure what our friends at PointsBet know. Maybe that we don't, or do they just think it's one of those? There's a good day coming for Arsenal that we know is always there. That they can defend well. That they got threats in the attacking areas of the pitch. Conceded a late goal in that first tie from a corner kick that cost them a problem. Cedric didn't mark on the far post. They're going to have to be clean and a lot better, and the opposition will be a lot better than Sheffield United, mate.
Yeah, it's a brave man that backs Arsenal at -239. Slavia Prague, we know, sold two really good players to West Ham United, and Suchek and Soufal. So they're a good outfit, and they're still doing well without those two players. They've got some good players in that side. That's a difficult game. So those odds are, you know, are pretty generous if you want to have a go on Slavia Prague. The Arsenal fans, I think, just be a little careful. I mean, that's kind of strong favourites in a way. I mean, Slavia Prague.
Save your money and be happy if you get through. I would suggest is the way with the Arsenal fans.
Go there and score and win.
So yeah, get the first goal, and obviously that's great. But as ever, my friend, I think we've said a dramatic match week 31 with decisive results at both ends of the table. The two Manchester clubs look like they're nailed on for first and second, but 4 points now between Leicester in third, Liverpool in six, means that the Champions League places are up for grabs and will probably go down to the last day of the season. We'll be back on Thursday. That's this Thursday, April the 15th, to review all the European action in the Champions League. Liverpool have got lots to do against Real Madrid, while Manchester City and Chelsea, they have leads, but certainly not done and dusted. And Arsenal and Manchester United, they've got a date with the Europa League on Thursday. The Gunners, as we've said, have got work to do against Prague, 1-1 at the moment, but certainly not sure they're going to get through that, although PointsBet Sportsbook believe they are favourites. But for now, I'm Earl Hees Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, be healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.